We'd like to thank our sponsor, SLC Guitar, for another sweet guitar riff. Welcome to another episode of Build with Breen Holmes, where we talk all things construction, business management, and just have a good old time behind the microphone.
Mr. Breen.
Man, I love podcast days.
Oh,
what's up, buddy?
Always fun.
Yeah.
Always fun. How you been?
No, you know, I've been all right.
Yeah.
I'm surviving day by day at a time. You know, I tend to live my life day by day at a time right now. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Day by day, that's all you can do sometimes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What about Charity? How's Charity doing?
How you doing, Miss Charity?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm good. We got Charity on a mic today. We're excited about that.
Thank you. I'm probably going to cut it off at some point in time, but
yeah.
It's all good.
You're in control.
Yes.
That's all you need to know.
Yes.
You know, thank you. We had a mutual friend reach out this past week saying that they listened to us. So we got two listeners, my mom and a mutual friend.
It's true. We're getting there.
Shout out to our second listener in 2 years.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for that. You know,
we'll go. Are you paying them this time? Or
yeah. Well, I think I Venmo'd him enough to buy a drink at 7-Eleven or something like that.
Okay. So we should be good for
a few episodes.
Okay, topic today, tell me a little bit, like, I know we've talked about this before, but your process on onboarding clients, potential clients, but tell me a little bit about where you get projects, how a client originally approaches you about their project.
Got it. You know, being in custom home building, I think we often get approached all across the entire spectrum, right? And you could probably second this, but I get clients that call me and just say, we ran into a, you know, we went through a parade home years 10 years ago. We're thinking about building a home. Tell us where to start.
Right.
I get clients that say, hey, we've met with an architect. We've bought a lot. Here's our plans. Put a bid together. You know, so I tend to get them, you know, from, like I said, from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum. I would say the majority of the time I get a client that has started down one of the top, let's say two or three kind of core departments or processes to get the project moving, and they're partially in it, architectural, interior design, or purchasing land, one of those three phases.
Right.
And they kind of come to you and say, hey, we're thinking about it. We're dipping our toe.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Give me a number.
You know, yeah, what do we do? And yeah, it's usually that of like,
right.
We've reached out to four different contractors. And it's not even like, talk to us about your process. It's usually just like, what is this going to cost to build?
Right.
You know, and I think we've, you know, you and I have both ran into that where they say, you know, let's just go to the architectural route, because that's typically where it comes in at, of here's our plans. And again, I'll try not to like talk as if they're uneducated.
Right.
But here's our plans. They send you a set of plans. It's like three pages, maybe a couple of floor plans and maybe like a model of an elevation. And they'll be like, and we own a lot here. And they send you like a plat map at best. Sometimes it's just an address that you're Google searching for, so to speak.
Right.
And they'll say, can you get us a bid? You know, and like, where do you even start? And 9 times out of 10, if you have like a 15-minute conversation, you know, 10-minute conversation with them, you can work your way into understanding their budget. I don't even like to start with like, hey, what's your budget? Because they're always hesitant to dive right in and say our budget's $1 million, $8 million. $10, you know, whatever it is.
They typically don't want to give you their budget.
Right. They want to play the cat and mouse game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
bid you against other folks.
Yep.
I'm not going to give you a number.
Yeah. Or they might even say like, well, we have a couple of bids. We just want to check things and see where that.
Yep.
And how often do you get a set of those plans and you're like, I can't even like, okay, I can get a set of architectural plans and put it together a budget for them for like cabinets. Be like, hey, listen, your budget or your allotted budget for these cabinets is $250,000.
Right.
But I can't like go in and start formulating the cost of footing, foundation, structural plans, truss design. Like you're just literally guessing.
Right.
You know, so often I feel like clients, because they're not educated in what we do, they think that their first start is an architect to draw plans. And I can't tell you how many times I've had clients come to me and say, you know, after our first or second conversation, our budget is, let's say, $2.5 million. And here's a set of plans of 10,000 square feet, you know, at the Brighton Ski Resort. Can you build it? And you're like, no,
right.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 9 times out of 10, they'll say, okay, well, we'll go with somebody else that says they can.
Right.
And what, like, I used to think that it was so easy to sit back and go, yeah, I was right. They're going to come back to me and tell me that they eventually spent $400 or $500 a square foot, $600, $700, $1,000 a square foot, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But then it's just rinse and repeat because it's just a different client, different person. Yeah. So like, does it really do you any justice to be like, nah, I was right. Told you so. Mm. No, you just lose another client.
Do you think that there's wisdom in client approaches you and says, give me a number, basically, summarize that, and basically turning the conversation around and asking those questions, like almost educational questions?
Yeah. I would say that now with the hyperinflation we've dealt with and the change in the market and the rates increasing, and honestly, the red tape you have to go through to get a building permit from like a city or a county building department.
Yeah.
Enough of that has changed that when a client comes with a non-viable product, a budget that doesn't fit a design,
yeah,
more often than not now those have started to fizzle out. It's not that they venture even into the path and figure out along the way. Mm-hmm. They just give up on it and come back a year later,
right,
so to speak. So I think there's a lot of value in educating them. I'll tell you, we started taking a little bit different of approach because I was spending a lot of time putting together line item bids and presenting them numbers that that attempted to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Off of assumptions?
Yeah, off of a lot of assumptions, putting together some wild budgets. And we would prepare this, you know, I kind of had this prepared speech or prepared email that went through and said, you know, you don't have structural, you don't have any civil, you don't have any geotechnical, you don't have any selections done. So we're just kind of guessing on all these, but here's where we could see you work.
Yeah.
We found that they would literally take that to competition and say, hey, here's a budget that another builder gave us. And they'd look at it and go, we can do it way cheaper on framing than that. And it's like, you lose the whole job because you misquoted a false number on framing.
Yeah.
You know, so we, even when we were doing that, we would try to enter kind of a light pre-construction agreement. At the time we called it a letter of intent that was not asking for much, but asking for a small deposit. And the intent was that we're working together. We're going to start getting some preliminary budgets and drafting in place. Mm-hmm. And we're asking you to please not go share this with competition. We realize you're going to shop us. Just don't go share it with competition.
Yeah.
But even then, we're spending all this time putting together a totally fake budget.
Absolutely.
You know, like, how do we
guess?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and so over the last, I'd probably say 7 or 8 years, we really changed that process to save ourselves time and honestly just save a lot of effort into the client, into that more educated role, to say, awesome that this is where you're at, but here's where you need to go.
Right.
And so we still like to be the added resource of like, here's what your general contractor should be bringing to the team.
Right.
But listen, you're not going to come to us and say, here's a plan, here's our budget, somehow find a way to squeeze them in the same you know, bowl together. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, so we started kind of going into like the education phase and saying, really, listen, on these estate type of properties, you should be working with a civil engineer to get an idea of the layout of phase 1, 2, and 3 of the project. You know, I mean, so many clients that we've dealt with in the past have not only the main house, they may have a guest house, a pool house, a toy barn, you know, all these other things that can go on the property. So it's like phase 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's like, why even start on phase 1 if you don't have a general layout of what you're doing for all the other phases?
Right.
So we started really early on of like, get the civil engineers involved, get the geotechnical engineers involved, you know, start to work with your architects and your structural engineers and your mechanical designers. I mean, like, these are all things that need to go into a project. Mm-hmm. And these are all things that really need to happen before I can even give you real numbers.
See, and I think that's the part that I find fascinating about when clients are looking for a builder, right? Mm-hmm. They're going for the number, not all of them,
Right. But the majority, I mean, honestly, and like, majority. Again, I think you try to like cover it with like, not, you don't want to tell like a buyer, like you're dumb and you're uneducated.
Yeah.
But the reality is they're not a professional in this.
Exactly.
And they talk to somebody that's like, hey, you really should start to get a general contractor involved. Mm-hmm. That's usually an architect. Mm-hmm. Go talk to these two or three.
Right.
But they also should know that that also means we got to get all these other people involved.
And that's the beautiful part of it, right? Like there's a handful, you know, there's probably quite a few builders out there that will definitely take the time and ask those education questions.
Right? Yeah.
Like, help me understand exactly where you're building. Mm-hmm. What do you have right now that I can work off of?
Totally.
And then I can tell you if I can maybe give you a roundabout.
Right.
Roundabout number. Nothing that's you can, I would take to the bank.
Totally.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah.
But definitely something that you can go, oh, okay, yeah, maybe I should be asking these questions.
Totally.
As I'm interviewing builders.
Right.
Compared to just give me a number. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that any client that talks to, I would hope somebody like us that tries to educate them.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you kind of the next phase in a second here of how we get into like kind of a cost, you know, what we call it. But I would think that any client that takes the time to understand you, hear you, listen to you, would then go interview other contractors or builders and go, man, he gave me all the ammo I need to ask. Mm-hmm. And now I'm asking this to somebody else and this person's fumbling. They're not the right person for me.
Exactly.
You know, there is a whole lot more to it than just what's your cost per foot.
Yeah.
You know, and we hate just that. What's your cost per foot? I can tell you throughout the years, I really started during COVID time when I was presenting a budget or having this discussion with a client, I would record a video and send it to them. And say, hey, just listen to this in your car. It gives the opportunity to read back and re-listen to it. It gives the opportunity for your wife to listen to it. Like everybody can get involved here.
That's a good idea.
I can't tell you how, dude, I thought so too. I looked at it the other day and it shows like views when you send it out via YouTube because I would always upload a link to YouTube. I can't tell you how many videos it was like that. Son of a bitch didn't even
look at
people
this.
Did like zero views. And I'm like, man, like I spent 2 or 3 hours putting together a line item bid,
right?
Recorded a 20 minute video. And I get that, like, listen, at the end of the day, if I'm going to attach a video link and attach a cost breakdown, most likely I would say 90% of people that get that email, they're not going to read anything I put in. They're not going to listen to the video. They're going to scroll down, open the PDF, go to the bottom line number. I'm like, nope.
Nope. Yeah. You're right.
You know? And I still would kind of say, like, I would literally be this blunt in email. I'd be like, wait, before, never mind. Okay, .. Now that you've seen the final number and you kind of shit yourself a little bit, now will you please read my email and understand what I'm trying to tell you? Like, I literally, like, call them out.
Understand the numbers.
Yeah, like, okay, now that you've done that and you had your emotional reaction and you're pissed off because I'm an idiot, now will you please understand what I'm trying to say in here? And then I'd go through and try to explain And then here's a video explaining how I bid, why I bid, what I'm looking at, what I'm trying to project.
Right.
Bro, I was wasting so much time doing that. Okay. So much time doing that. So what we started doing is in our initial phone call, number one, trying to understand their vision. Most of the time we have like a floor plan, maybe an elevation from an architect.
Okay, I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Their vision, the architectural vision, or if they don't have an architect involved, it's what are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, both, right?
Okay.
If they've got something, great, send it to us. You got a lot. You got a vision, you have a game plan.
Okay.
You have no plan in place. I'm your first call.
Got it. Okay.
It's usually just like start to understand the reason why. Like, why are we doing this?
Okay.
What's the point behind it? Number two, I think as a custom home builder that's been doing this for long enough, it's starting to ask the right questions based on what we see. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think as we've been in this industry longer and longer and got more mature in it, it's easy to get an idea of the design of their house, what style they have, the views they're going for, the layout they want, you know, whether they've got a lot of kids, a few kids, animals, right? Like you can look at a set of plans and go, oh, you focused heavily on your garage.
Got it.
You put a bunch of time into the pool bathroom, the dog wash, the kids' bedroom, your master escape retreat away from the family room. Like all these little things start to kind of pinpoint you in the direction to say, help me understand what you're going for. Mm-hmm. And then I can start to provide you the right guidance of where you need to go. For example, I had one the other day that a client's just trying to build an estate property out west, and they've got about 5 acres, and he plans on phase A, phase B, house and house and shop garage, detached separate shop garage, and then down the road, pool house, kind of sports facility. Okay. So it'd be probably like a multi-year project. And one of the first things I started to ask him is, how many kids do you have? What's your age? Is this your forever house? And then I started to kind of bring up these little tweaks of like, okay, noticed garage is here and pantry's here, and elevation wise, based off the slope and topography of your lot, you're probably going to have steps in there. My guess is you don't want steps in there because you plan on being here the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, yeah, I never thought about like zero entry off the garage.
Right.
Well, okay, it's not just a zero entry off the garage. Like in theory, you're thinking of being here long term. Mm-hmm. I now know, okay, we've got to deal with flat driveway back to the shop garage. We're trying to do a zero entry off the backyard. Like all these things start to go into place, right?
Potential elevators.
These are things we know.
Yeah.
They don't know. We've been doing it long enough. So when I say start to create their vision, it's just, it can truly be a 20-minute conversation to understand their vision. And then what we typically do is say, great, thanks, enough information for today. Based on what I have, general idea of square footage, where you want to build, style you want to build, what your vision and goal is, we're going to send you a probable cost. And I've got, I call it a probable cost breakdown. I've kind of got a little paragraph that says, based off square footage and your vision and your style, we're going to give you kind of this minutia equation of, we think you're going to be between X and Y. Those are your parameters. That's going to be your build cost.
High, low number.
Yep. Okay. And we honestly send them, it's about a 8-page document that kind of reiterates the notes that we took of like what we understood, what we heard, the calculation of how we got to your high and low parameter, an explanation of why we can see that much of a sway. I can go into total geeky detail numbers on that if you want.
No, I'm a total spreadsheet dork. I'm good.
We're good. I trust you.
And then it explains how we get to a building permit and the other professionals we got to bring on to get there. Right.
Got it.
So the goal is to kind of say, you need more people involved. Listen, these are all things that we take on really early in like the sales phase to help under, help a client understand the proper steps that they need to take to get to dig, build.
Right.
Right. And, you know, sometimes you spend a month working with a client. Sometimes you spend a year working with a client.
Right.
You know, but so often if they just come and say, here's a general floor plan, here's my budget, can it work?
And you're talking in that pre-con process.
Yeah, you know. So, and then the last thing we typically send to them, I've kind of run over all these different things. I think we need to get into construction. But it, the last thing we send them is literally our cost analysis target. And we've taken a dartboard target and we show a dart that's off the target down to the side that says probable cost. And it's like, we just, based on what you gave us, we just threw a dart and like hit somewhere around the board. We didn't even hit the board.
Okay.
And then eventually we're going to get to a cost category breakdown. And then we're going to get a line item breakdown. And then we're going to get to a cost control budget. And it shows those darts kind of start to focus in on trying to get to somewhat of a bullseye.
Okay.
And it just says it's going to take us time to get there. And we need a lot more information to go from here to here to here to here. And it's an analysis that's worked really well for us to help them understand that when you just call and say, hey, throw a dart at a dartboard, we're going to be way off. And if I'm here and the other contractor's over here, neither of us are wrong and neither of us are idiots. You just haven't given us the right information that we need.
Absolutely. Right?
You know, so we probably take in that kind of pre-construction, they get to a pre-construction agreement, anywhere from 3 to 5 meetings with a client. You know, by then we have a pretty good vision. We can start to hone in a little bit more on their budget. You know, but at some point you go from that pre-con to, or sorry, that let's call exploration into a pre-con agreement. And now you're initiating your operational team.
Okay.
Right. So for us, I'm kind of salesman.
Yeah.
I deal with all of our pre-construction and our initiation agreements and bring those clients in. And then as soon as we kind of get into a pre-con agreement, they've now signed, you know, a soft contract with us. We're now saying, teams involved. Now, how do I bring in my estimator, my project manager, and really get my office admin and everybody moving on the project?
Does that include your consultants and stuff?
Yeah. Consultants are all outside consultants. That's part of the agreement. You know, again, we bring in, if they don't have it, we ask or we request for architect, interior designer, civil engineer, structural engineer. Sometimes realtors are involved. Sometimes owner's reps or project consultants are involved. You know, so team can get big.
Break down what the advantages for those consultants are.
Consultants is just like a really good, we've talked a little bit about this before, a really good third party that understands the language of the general contractor in both pros and cons and understands the goal and direction of what the client is and plays third, you know, middle party. But I think the goal of that person, I do a fair amount of it myself, the goal of that person is to just help the client understand where they're costing the project time and money, and then help the contractor understand where they're costing the project time and money. So I often kind of take that step back of like, when you got to figure, when a contractor is making a decision on the job, even if they're doing right by their client, they're still in the business to make money.
Right.
They still are out there to make money. They're providing a service for money. Okay, the client is trusting the contractor to provide the product for the money they're being paid. But there's always going to be this kind of weird grayish area of like, well, I don't want to piss off the client, but I also don't want to tell them that them changing appliances is going to delay us by 3 months.
Yeah.
But a project consultant should be able to come in and say, hey, listen, are you properly giving them the explanation that when they made that change, which they chose to do, that it's not only going to cost them 3 months, but that's also going to cost an extra $15,000 in delaying the project. Garbage cans that's sitting out there, utility bills, honey buckets, all the above.
Got it.
You know, so I just think it's like a very good position. I've dealt with them. I've been that person. It's a very good position for somebody just sit back and just lay out facts. No emotion. And I think a lot of contractors look at that as like, you know, like babysitter. It's not. I honestly think if you handle it the right way, you can say, hey, come to me and let me go to the client and tell them they're delaying the project. They're not making decisions. We've even had it in of like contractors have come to us and then been like, man, our framer fell through last minute. Like we're totally screwed. I've got six of them. I've been dealing with this for years. Let's call them. Let's get somebody else. Let's help negotiate that contract. Like you can be a support to a contractor too.